Hi, my name is Tracy Coral, and welcome to Indispensable People. I'm a wife, mom, teacher, pastor, and missionary, and I believe that every person should have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in Him, and serve Him with the gifts that He has given, no matter their ability. Over 65 million Americans have a disability. That's 25% of the population. However, over 80% of them are not inside the walls of our church. Let's dive into those hard topics, biblical foundations, perceptions, and world-changing ideas. Hey, and welcome to today, where we're going to talk about the structure of a special needs or disability ministry. We've already said that over 65 million Americans have a disability. If you are talking kiddos, that's over 3 million. So listen, disability ministry doesn't just happen in our kids' ministry. It's also in our youth and our adults. So when we talk about how do we structure this, we really have to consider the age span. But number one thing to remember is that the goal doesn't change, right? Our goal in the church is to make the gospel accessible so that all people have the opportunity to know Him, to grow in Him, and to serve Him with the gifts that He has given. So again, the goal doesn't change. The avenue to get to that goal does change. You see, you may not be able to do things exactly the same way for every single person. Hold on. Wait. That's actually true for across the board. I had a conversation this morning where I shared with someone that disability ministry, the idea of doing ministry different to meet the needs of a people group, is no different than thinking about serving our kids specifically or serving our youth. We have women's ministry and men's ministry, and we do it in a particular way that meets the needs of those people. And we can even take it even further into our churches, where we consider the culture of our church and our community. And that's what helps us to know how people will best learn, what days they'll come to Bible study, what works for them. Is it video learning? Is it Bible reading only? Is it, there are all kinds of things that we could consider, right? But my point being is, taking considerations for disability ministry is no different than the considerations that you make for your other ministries. Okay, so let's look on to a second thing that we need to remember. When we're considering serving people with disabilities, we need to remember that disability ministry is not a ministry of pity. Okay, pity and compassion are two different things. Pity will block someone's purpose, but compassion will lead way to their purpose. So we need to be careful as we begin to structure and build and consider serving individuals with disabilities and their families, that pity is not the priority, but having compassion, understanding what they're dealing with, where they're at, the things that they have to walk through, is going to be beneficial. Next, we need to remember that our ministry, our church, the body of Christ, needs to be welcoming. It's very difficult to learn and engage and grow in an environment that doesn't feel welcoming. So consider the space, the rooms that you're in. Are they easily and able to maneuver, find their way through? There are all kinds of things to make sure that a space feels welcoming. Next, we want to consider, how do we teach? This is across the board with the way that we teach kids, way that in it grows into youth, and you can level the depth of your teaching, right? In kids, you're going to be kind of surface and you're going to give them big ideas. In youth, you're going to take a little bit more depth to that. And then again, with adults, even further. And here's the deal. Your adults with disabilities are going to learn on all different levels as well. So you're going to start with an approach that looks like anything else. Gauge the individuals that you're going to learn and work with, and then go from there. But if an individual has an intellectual disability and they need a more simplistic view of the gospel, you're going to look at delivering things in a simple, concrete, and repetitive way. And here's the great thing about that. That will benefit and help anyone else that you are serving. And so keep it simple. Make sure you're staying away from the abstract. Give opportunities to learn using the five senses. And this really helps. And repetition. I don't know about you, but I need things repeated. It's helpful. And here's the thing. Brain study shows that the more connections that we make on a topic, the more it sticks. So again, there's a benefit for everyone in the room when we keep it simple, keep it concrete, and repeat. Next, we're going to consider some attention and focus things. How does that affect? I mean, we live in a world today that everything is instant, right? You want to watch a show? Here you go. Where's your iPad? Where's your phone? You don't even have to turn on the TV. You don't have to wait to get home. You don't have to wait. I don't know. I might be aging myself, but you don't have to wait until the next week to see the next episode, right? It's all right there at your fingertips. So we need to consider that. Not only with our individuals that have ADHD or focus or processing concerns, but that we live in a culture that also aids and leads into an instant gratification culture. So we want to do everything that we can to maintain attention. If you can include movement, sometimes breaks, hands-on activities, or fidgets, something that people can use to put in their hands. I love silent fidgets. Silent fidgets are great because they don't distract anyone else in the room. Next, we're going to consider that we need to educate our churches, right? One of the things that I get to do in ministry is I get to travel to other churches and share the mission and vision of reaching people with special needs. And so why do we do that? Because sometimes people don't know it's a thing. Sometimes people don't know that it's a need. And so when we share that vision, when we let it all out to know the statistics, the need, the people that are surround. One of the great things that I love to do is I love to ask the church that if they know someone or have come in contact with someone with a disability to raise their hand. Typically, 75% or more of the church has their hand up, and I have them look around at each other to realize how great of a need this truly is. When you get to educate and share or have maybe even a special needs awareness day where the pastor preaches on disability because the Bible has a lot to say about it, we can bring awareness, understanding, and compassion to our church. So now that we have some basic tips on what to do, we're starting with knowing that the goal is the same, the avenues might be needing to change. We need to have a welcoming space. We need to think about how we're going to teach between keeping things simple, concrete, and repetitive. In addition to that, how to hold attention. Then you're educating your church to receive and welcome and value people with disabilities. So where do you go from there? From there, it's going, okay, we need a program. What does this program look like? How do we actually serve people with disabilities? Now, I want you to consider that you can't do everything at once, but serving people with disabilities includes every age group and every gender, every culture across the board, right? So again, you can't do everything at once. And so I'm not saying, hey, let's start a youth, kids and adult special needs ministry all at one time. But sometimes if you see a need, you meet that need and then grow from there. That is going to be your best approach. Then you need to consider a couple of things. Do we need to serve that individual that's already showing a need or whatever we're preparing for? Do we need to consider including them in the ministry that already exists? Now, some individuals don't fit that mold. Maybe they don't do well in the regular services or kids' church or youth services. And you might need to consider providing a different Bible study or a sensory room, options like that, that might fit them a little bit better. But on a typical special needs ministry, we have kind of a three-tiered system. One is that you might have an individual who is trained in the disability ministry, and they just are in the room, the space where all of the people are. So for example, in your kids' church, you might have an extra adult that is disability ministry trained and is ready to step in should a situation arise, or a child just need redirected or better explanation given. In addition to that, you can have what we call the buddy system. And the buddy system is where you have a more direct volunteer who would work directly with a child, adult, or youth that would sit with them and help engage them in the ministry. And so that looks more like a one-on-one or one-to-two person where they just really help navigate the service or the event that is going on. Next, you have the child or adult who may not thrive in the typical ministry environment. And that person may need a different classroom. They may need a sensory space, something that makes them feel comfortable and more direct. A couple things to go along with that. Some people will say, okay, so we've got the structure, but what about policies and procedures? What about this? What about that? Well, first you want to consider that most of your ministries should already have policies and procedures in place. So you're going to utilize those things and maybe add to it. So you're already going to have in your kids' space that no adult is alone with another child. So you're going to have to follow that along in the disability ministry. You may want to consider to adding policies that would address seizures, medications, and changing for bathroom needs, especially with adults. So those are just some of the policies and procedures that you would consider as you put together this program and provide this structure within your church. So here's the thing. We need to remember that a welcoming atmosphere is the most wanted thing for individuals and families impacted by disability. Your programs and your structures will never outshine the welcome that you express to people with disabilities. So just remember, when you value someone, when you love someone authentically and deeply with the love of Jesus, that will trump every single thing that you can offer to a family. Now, outside of your regular services, there are some things that you can consider. Can you provide that buddy system within a VBS? Or can you provide an extra person to go on the youth trip that would be able to assist an individual who typically doesn't need assistance, but on occasion, especially one where they are outside of their comfort zone, can that person attend with them so that they can navigate and feel comfortable during the duration of that trip? The other thing that you might want to consider are there special programs outside of the church's typical programs that you could provide? For instance, a respite night where you give parents the opportunity to go out to dinner or to take a nap, go grocery shopping, whatever they so choose, and you provide volunteers who care for their adult child or teen for the time that they're gone. Bible studies are another great thing to offer. For instance, on a Wednesday night, you might want to have a Bible study for individuals who may not attend the adult or youth programs. In addition to that, you can even serve the family by providing Bible studies or support groups that meet their needs, maybe on a different night of the week, that you provide care for their individual while they get to be fed and fellowship with others who are working and dealing in the same situations or similar that they are. So based on what we talked about today, your action steps are: be a welcoming church, educate your church, and build structures and programs that can help individuals with disabilities build community within the walls of your church, not only to just build that community with them, but also to then serve as co-laborers in Christ alongside the other believers. Always remember that God created each and every one of us. He has a plan and a purpose for everyone's life, no matter the ease or the difficulty we live through. Our job as we minister to people is that they have the opportunity to know God, grow in Him, and serve Him with the gifts that He has given. Do I know everything about disability ministry? Do I have all the answers? Have I done everything perfectly? I have absolutely not. But we are going to continue this conversation so that people of all abilities can have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in Him, and serve Him with the gifts that He has given them. Join us next time as we talk about inclusion.